not often these days that a footballer stays at a club for a decade, and I would hazard that it's even rarer in the top divisions of the game, and that makes Calvin Davis's services to Southampton even more notable. In 10 days' time, just 48 hours after the Premier League season ends, the Saints keeper will have a testimonial at St Mary's when the current squad will take on a promotion 11. And despite his weary legs and knackered back, he's managed to climb to the studio this evening to join us. How are you?
Thirsty, actually.
You mean I've looked after you so well?
Good lad.
I thought a glass of water or something, Adam. Yeah. But no, not
have
even
you got a producer, Louise? Louise, have you got a producer today?
I think the news editor's kicking about
okay.
somewhere, I think.
Well, he's got to come in handy at some stage, so let's see if we can get a jug of water for you. You've obviously had just finished training, so you need some rehydration.
So let's just clarify then. You brought Calvin in, but didn't offer him a drink on the way in.
Yeah, he only turned up at 4 minutes past six. That's the biggest lie of my week. So, okay, I've just been chatting to him, and I didn't offer him a drink. But at least you two haven't pointed it out. Actually, look. Hashtag SKD10. That's the social media banter
hey,
around your testimonial.
I've arrived, haven't I?
What does the S stand for? Is it support?
In some ways, yeah.
What could be many words? But, I worked the K and the D out.
Yeah.
Well done.
I think I think we'll go with super on that one.
Super Calvin
yeah,
Davis, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been brought up recently, and we thought it worked quite well, so we went with that rather than the variations.
Right, you've got a testimonial committee. We've all got experience of these because one of my staff, of course, Kevin James, had a testimonial when he was a Hampshire cricketer for 20 years. So I've done quite a lot of stuff around testimonials. Jimmy Adams, we did a lot with the Hampshire captain last year. How is your committee going for you? How is it looking for the 17th?
It's looking good. Obviously, I'm in contact with them all the time, and it's getting busy now. We're getting closer to the date, which is slightly concerning, but also something to look forward to.
What are you worried about then? Why is it concerning? Are you worried about everyone turning up or what?
No, I think when I talk to people about it, I generally feel a little bit embarrassed. It's almost like you know there's a surprise party coming. It's strange, and I honestly feel that for me, as I look at it, it's more about the guys that are coming back. The Promotions 11 that was a fantastic name. One of the guys in the committee came up with.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where you got it from, but it sounds good.
Now, when I mentioned on Twitter last night that you were coming into the studio this evening, a few people said, "Where's Gooley?" So
the cult
figure of Gooley Do Prado.
I think he's lying on the beach somewhere. Probably, yeah. I get a few DMs from him on Instagram, and
what's the chance he'll actually reply in time for the game?
I think that the negative news of the night is that I think it's highly unlikely that. That Gooley's going to turn up.
Who do you know about? We know Ricky turned up. Ricky Lambert turned up, of course, last weekend to be to talk about the testimonial on the side of the pitch on Sunday.
There is a strategy in the way we're releasing these big names, Adam. So
you don't want me to break your embargoes?
You're kind of pushing me where I don't want to go there. But
I jokingly mentioned Dejan Lovren yesterday to some Saints fans on Twitter. Yeah. That went down well.
Yeah, obviously I've spoke to Dejan about 5 minutes before he left, and that was the last time I spoke to him.
Danny Osvaldo, is he high on the list of players to come back? Is Jose Font going to look after him, put him up for the night?
You'll have to ask Jose that question.
Oh, nicely opted out. Okay, what have you, you know, what about managing and stuff? Because people will go, well, Alan Pardew might turn up, Nigel Adkins could turn up. You've had a few managers over 10 years. Would you invite them all or not?
No, I've obviously got one strong candidate in mind, and I've been in conversations with him, and he's looking at his schedule and seeing whether he can get along. I do have a backup plan if all else fails, but we're going for one man in particular, and hopefully we can announce that next week.
So how many players are you allowed to tell us about, or not many yet?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head while you're talking.
Well, people like Billy Sharp to me, Dean Hammond,
yeah,
people like that.
Both been announced and confirmed,
yeah,
so
good.
That's good.
That's a good start.
Dan Harding,
nice.
Ricky Lambert, obviously Raddy, who obviously I see Raddy day to day, and he's gone from 16 stone to 14 stone.
I was gonna say, he's ready in preparation. I saw him looking lean the other day.
He's been putting a few pictures out of his salad and fish, and trying to look healthy, although Still a few too many grey hairs there for me, but I'm looking forward to obviously seeing him in action again. And we've got some more, obviously, some more guys that we're going to.
It's a shame the Liverpool game, in a way, now they're in the Europa League final, will deny you Nathaniel Kleine and Adam Lallana for a start off on a serious note.
I mean, in all honesty, Kleine wasn't in the promotions 11, Adam. Sorry to pick you up on that. No, he signed first year in the Premier League. So,
did he?
Yeah, you know, you've got if it's your job to.
I'm going to tag team next week.
I'm just going to shut up and let Luke talk.
Do you want to just go and maybe get Calvin a drink?
I know my place.
I'm feeling faint, actually. So.
Let's go back then to 2006. Was it? It was George Burley who brought you to Saints, was it?
It was. Yeah, so George Burley and Malcolm Webster. Which
what was the club like then compared to now then? What sort of differences have you seen?
Well, obviously vastly different. Now, you know, it's a beast in comparison. Mm. But I think when I turned up, the objective was to be promoted to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, you know, we were signing a few players at the time and you know, for substantial funds. So. Yeah. We were kind of going into the season thinking this could be our year, and obviously narrowly missed through the playoffs that year on a rainy night in Derby. Which I do remember really well. But in terms of the infrastructure of the club, you know, it's come on so much. You know, from the training ground to the food we eat, to the travel, how we get to and from games, and the amount of staff we employ at the clubs now. So it really is now a force, and obviously a force in the Premier League.
Did you ever expect to stay that long?
I know that when I signed from Sunderland. And
I wasn't going to say anything.
No, I looked, I did look
yourself.
Across.
You're hanging yourself on that.
And, you know, I wasn't, you know, I didn't have the best of times there. So, I know from the first day that I signed, I felt comfortable, I felt happy. Mm. It was a feeling inside, really, that just sort of sitting in the stand and having them first posy photos, holding the shirt up, which I cringe at when you see. But, you know, I knew that it was a good place. I knew that it was the people that I'd met, which are what make the football club, were genuine, and I felt that I could see myself being here for a long time.
Can you please regale everybody of exactly what happened in 2009 when you were on the verge of leaving as the club went into administration and had to get rid of players, and then up popped Nicola Cortese out of nowhere with Marcus Liebert, like knights in shining armour, to save the football club, and you had your head turned. So how close were you, and what actually happened?
I'd kind of I'd been training first part of pre-season with the guys at Southampton, and it basically got to a stage where I was out of contract. The club hadn't had new owners in place, so it was it got to that point where I genuinely wasn't getting paid, and I had to
look after the family.
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate case where my contract happened to have run out at that particular time. So. I'd obviously had a call from my advisor that West Ham were keen on me going up there, and I kind of left it as long as I could. And then I went up and I trained with the West Ham guys for 2.5 days, and with Gianfranco Zola, who was the manager at the time, and the guys that who does the contracts there was still away on his holidays. So I trained for 2 days, and on the third day. I was in the hotel room, and the phone rang, and it was Ros Wheeler, who was obviously club secretary and still is club secretary at the present time. And she called and said, "Have you signed anything yet?" I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, we've agreed the club's taken over, it's in new ownership, and I've got a contract here if you're willing to sign it." So I put the phone down, I rang the wife. And said, "Look, we've got a decision to make. What are your thoughts?" And she was obviously, you know, happy to go with whatever I decided. And there was
surely you must have waited till Nicola sold it to you.
No,
did you sign before?
No, it was the big decision. Really, was the contract on offer at West Ham was a little bit more impressive than the one I was getting offered at Southampton. So. It was a decision, but as I said, at you know, a little while ago in terms of I'd had a year of unhappiness in football, and once you've experienced that, you really don't want to feel them feelings again. And I knew that you know, there was only one decision to make, and the only hurdle I had was walking into West Ham's office and letting the manager know that I had my heart was elsewhere, so to speak. But he was fantastic. He just said he wants his players to be happy and wished me good luck. And I got in my car and drove. I didn't even drive back to Southampton. I drove to a nearby hotel where there was a fax machine and and got it signed.
Brilliant.
And done there and then. And I think the most the hardest thing for me really at that particular time was walking back into the dressing room at Southampton and seeing poor Bartosz Bałkowski's face when I came back in, because you know it would have been his opportunity. And you know, I can confirm actually that he's one of the guys coming back.
Bart will be there
doing very well in his career at the moment.
It's interesting because I remember I got called to a secret meeting at a hotel in Winchester, and it's one of these little things. Whenever I think about Nicola, I think about you, because I had dinner with him as it was happening in the days before he banned me from talking to the manager. And I said something while we were eating dinner, and there was a couple of other people at the table as well, about, well, you know, you're going to have to get a goalkeeper, aren't you, because you've lost Calvin Davis. And Nicola Cortese looked at me and he went, "Have we?" And he, you know, I sort of couldn't say anything, and I thought, "Oh, he's canny, this Italian bloke, isn't he?"
Yeah, that sounds like Nicola.
It was like that, wasn't it? The rise and rise through promotions. You've had fantastic times. The JPT final, although it's not as important as getting to the Premier League, was that as a one-off just the most fun being at Wembley with all the fans and everything?
I think obviously it's easy looking back, but you. Even for me at the time, you know, being at such a phenomenal place as Wembley and being in a cup final and playing for Southampton was, you know, it was probably the best moment of my career and my Southampton career. And it's strange because I think it was definitely the catalyst that kicked us on. And you know, that's again referring to the lads who are coming back. It's I feel that what was achieved in them early years has obviously set the foundations for what the club is now.
We became a winning team by doing that, didn't you? Mentality, I imagine, shifts up a gear, you know, as you go through. Okay, we're running out of time with you, but favourite penalty save. You are renowned over your career for saving a lot of penalties. So I've got a short list of Van Persie, Gareth Barry, Frank Lampard and David Silva, all of whom were rather useful, especially Lampard taking penalties, and Barry took them for years. Have you got a favourite? Do you remember moments like that, or does it all blur in the adrenaline? Or is it another one?
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I think I saved one from David Beckham in training in Toulon from 1 year. But no, I think that the problem I have with the two penalty saves against Van Persie and De Silva was the fact we didn't win the game.
Yeah.
And this might sound strange, but the Brighton at home penalty that I think got us the point. And Millwall at the beginning of the first season with the new owners, you know, that was a big save because I managed to save the rebound as well. So, yeah, it's difficult when you don't win and you make a penalty save. It kind of takes the sting out of it a bit.
And I guess you've got a decision to make about your future. I guess that's all up in the air, is it, at the moment? You're out of contract, but you've got to think about, do I keep playing? Do I coach? Do I do something else?
Yeah, I mean, I've got options. I feel, I think it'd be a lot easier if I didn't feel fit and strong. You know, that's the issue that plays around in your mind. You still feel that you can dive around and make saves. So, but we're in sort of deep conversations and talking all the time with the club and Les Reed in particular, who's coming up with different offers and ideas for what I can do. I think the bottom line is whatever I do, I want it to be something I can really have an impact on pushing the club the way it wants to go.
Right, Tuesday the 17th of May, 7:30 kick-off, promotions team versus the current squad. 2 days after the Premier League season finishes, I think you're going to get a heck of a good crowd, and you really, I hope you do. But you're also supporting a charity, so quickly, you better tell us about that.
Yeah, no, the charity is obviously is massive for me. It's the LAP Cancer Charity, which is liver and pancreatic cancer charity. They've got a Facebook page as well, which is on the top of my head, which I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But
is that a personal one from family reasons or just
it's the surgeon who's in charge and in charge of the charity itself is an amazing person, basically, and he's the guy that really took hold of me after my wife had some treatment. It was non-cancerous. It was more about, you know, the fact of, you know, the hours he was putting in on top of the effort he was putting in. So he encouraged me to get involved with the charity, and I'm now the chairman of that charity.
Brilliant.
So it's looking good. It's just about raising awareness for them and obviously some financial support and look to do what we can with liver cancer in particular, and hope that we can improve it and do some good.
I look forward to seeing you Sunday. Thank you for coming in this evening.
Just before you go, I just ran out.
She's actually gone and got some water.
I went and got you some water.
Is it water?
It is properly water. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
See, if you need a job doing, do it yourself.